is frightful.
News Talk Tonight continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
No place to go.
I'm Richard Krause in for Jim Richards. Thank you for being along for the ride tonight. A lot of you probably watched Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky when he made a dramatic visit to Washington yesterday. That was his first known trip outside Ukraine since the Russian invasion began in February. He met with President Joe Biden at the White House and later addressed Congress as lawmakers were set to vote on a $45 billion emergency aid package as part of a larger spending package. To help us add some insight to this and add some depth to this is Solomia Stasev, the Clooney Foundation for Justice's representative in Ukraine. She focuses on research and criminal investigation. Solomia, thank you for joining me this evening.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for having me.
So the symbolism yesterday was unmistakable. The American vice president and the House speaker held up before both chambers of Congress the blue and yellow Ukrainian flag. Zelensky was presented with an American flag. How important are these symbolic gestures on the world stage?
You know, I think this is extremely important. I think the approach that President Zelensky has taken, that Zaluzhny has taken, you know, with his interview in The Economist, the most recent one, is crucial these days, because as I travel, I do get to see and talk to people who still ask me, you know, is the conflict still on? And I am making an emphasis on the word conflict, because this is actually something that President Biden started his speech at the conference, at the press conference with. And I think words are extremely important, and the symbolism and actions are extremely important to actually highlight that it is a war. It is a Russian war against Ukrainian people, and it is still ongoing.
Putin used the word war for the first time today. That is a marked change in the language surrounding this that he, coming from him.
Yeah, you know, it's Putin's shifts are quite interesting to watch for us Ukrainians anyways. We do hear, you know, that it, what's happening is horrible, but it isn't our fault, and so on and so forth. So I do not take President Putin too seriously myself, and his words rarely do mean anything, but it is a shift, you're right, and it's interesting to watch at this point.
I thought that President Zelensky led with strength, emotion. There was a little bit of humor in his speech before Congress. How effective do you think that speech was, just in terms of not only for the people that were in the room, but for those of us who were watching on television and reacting in real time? It felt historic to me. It felt like what it must have felt like, I think, to listen to Churchill on the radio as he was making speeches during the Second World War. What's your take?
You know, I do think that President Zelensky and his team are great at, you know, delivering and writing speeches. I do compliment him on this. I do think it's very important, the words that he chooses, the visit, the clothes and everything. You know, it does represent what we are as a nation right now. And him coming there and talking to the American people and addressing people, you know, approaching Christmas, it's a big thing, because, you know, he did mention in his speech that we're going to celebrate Christmas in Ukraine with you know, candlelight and stuff like that, and it is not a romantic gesture on our end. It is a necessity. My family is there right now, and, you know, it's hard. It's really hard, and it's really hard to put into words what we're living through every day. And so I think he's doing a great job explaining these things in his emotional manner, the way he can do it. And I did talk to a lot of people in the past, you know, 24 hours, a lot of Canadians specifically, and I see that people were touched by that. So that means moving in the right direction.
I'm speaking with Solomia Stasiv, the Clooney Foundation for Justice's representative in Ukraine. How you say your family is there. How is your family doing?
Well, it's always a very difficult question for me. Mm-hmm. I was in Kyiv myself just a couple of weeks ago, just came to Toronto on a personal visit, short personal visit. It's they're laughing at me now because, you know, when you are in Ukraine, you're actually kind of taking things a little more lightly, even though all of this horrible stuff is happening around you. But when you're actually outside of there, you're way more worried. Right. I do have a family chat, which I have four brothers, and my mom is in this chat, and it mostly consists of pluses now. You know, in military lingua, it means that message received. And right. So that's what we do every day. We just put pluses saying that, you know, we're okay. And the other day when the drones attacked the civil infrastructure in the Kyiv region, it was literally in between the two towns where my brothers live. And one of my brothers was writing to another one that, you know, the drone just flew past our building towards you. So go down to the basement. So it's hard.
Yeah.
And the family is distressed. And I do have two beautiful nieces who have to take their classes, you know, in bomb shelters and do their homework with torches and stuff like that. So it's quite hard to put into words, but I think people here should know and understand how different it is, and it's not that far.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I can hear the emotion in your voice as you gave me that answer. What is your take on what might happen now that the Republicans are set to take control of the House in a matter of weeks, and there are some very vocal members of the incoming majority who oppose more massive U.S. aid to Ukraine? It must be distressing, but if you can separate yourself from the raw emotion of it, what do you think might happen realistically?
It is distressing. And to be fair, I am not a military expert, mm-hmm. Not a politician. I do, as you mentioned, focus mostly on criminal investigations and research of war crimes. But whenever someone asks me a question about what I think will happen or what will the outcome of this war be, you know, I share President Zelensky's opinion 100%. I do know, and I don't have one doubt in my mind, that we will win this war. It will happen sooner, and it will, be better for the world if we want it with the world's help. But there's no way Ukraine is making concessions at this stage, and there's no way we are giving up under the terror and under the bully. And so as far as the help goes, I think I do, you know, have a lot of appreciation and respect for American people and the American government, as do I have that for Canadian government. Mm-hmm. And so I think that any sensible government in this situation understands that if Russia isn't stopped, then this war will go further, will go far beyond Ukrainian borders, and will eventually reach this side of the pond.
We just have a minute left. Do you think that we're likely to see the United States pursue justice for war crimes committed by Russian troops?
Well, so it seems now that they're actually getting more warm to the idea of universal justice, universal jurisdiction. So, yes, I do hope so. I do think that this will make a huge difference now that a lot of Ukrainians actually are in the United States. And a lot of criminals and perpetrators are there as well.
Solomia, thank you so much for spending some time with me this evening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. That was Solomia Stasiv, the Clooney Foundation for Justice's representative in Ukraine. Stay with me. When we come back, there's lots more show to come. We're going to be speaking with Sarah Lang. She is a contributing writer at The Kit, and she's written an article that I found really interesting in the Toronto Star. We're switching gears a little bit. We're talking about Nepo babies, kids of very famous people that go on to pursue careers in show business. Stay with me. Lots more to come on Nightside.